agenda now.
That's it.
Call the meeting to order. I'll do that right now. And for those that are able to stand, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. Please note we have not received any notifications from commissioners to participate remotely. For this reason, no roll calls are required, and at the chair's discretion, all voting may be conducted by voice vote. Item 3 is disclosure of campaign contributions. If any commissioner has received a campaign contribution that would require disclosure and recusal from an item on today's agenda, please make it known at this time. Being none, I have a couple announcements. Consistent with state law, the agenda was posted to LAFCO's website on Wednesday, June 3rd, and here at the Kenneth Hahn Hall of Administration on Tuesday, June 2nd. The agenda and hearing notices stated that interested persons were afforded the opportunity to submit comments by email or U.S. mail no later than 5 o'clock yesterday. Councils reviewed the agenda and they have affirmed that the conduct of today's meeting is consistent with state law. When a commissioner makes or seconds a motion, please do so and state your last name so that we can record it in the minutes. Item 4 is the swearing in of speakers. Staff has arranged for members of the public to provide verbal testimony during today's meeting, whether here in person or remotely. As is your practice, each speaker is allowed up to 3 minutes for each agenda item, including public comment. To the members of the public calling into today's meeting, and should you wish to speak before the commission, we will ask that you identify yourself and the agenda item to which you are speaking. You may also indicate that you merely wish to be available should the commission have any questions. For any member of the public who plans to testify today before the commission, including those who are here in the room and any who are accessing remotely, now is the time for you to be sworn in. We would ask that you raise your right hand, please. In the testimony that you may give before this commission, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Item 5 is public comment. This is the first opportunity for members of the public, including those joining remotely, to address the commission on any items. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Does any member of the public in the room wish to be heard under public comment? Seeing none, is there any member of the public who is accessing the meeting remotely who wishes to be heard under public comment? Okay. Mr. Chair, your next item is the consent agenda, agenda item 6.
Have the consent items, item 6. Is there a motion on the consent items? Second?
Second.
I think I heard it shot over here first. John, did you make the motion? Second the motion? All right. Any question or comments on any of the items? Okay, please call the roll on the consent.
You can do it by voice vote if you would like.
Just a voice vote?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor of the consent, of approving the consent calendar in its entirety?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much.
Your next item, Mr. Chair, is item 7A, and LAFCO Senior Analyst Doug Dorada will present agenda items number 7A and agenda item 7B.
Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda item 7A was continued from April 8th, 2026. Reorganization number 2014-03 to the City of Calabasas, Craftsman's Corner. Amendment to the City of Calabasas and the City of Hidden Hills Sphere of Influence, and consideration of the final EIR and second addendum to the final EIR for the City of Calabasas 2023 General Plan. The proposed reorganization consists of 176 acres of inhabited territory, which includes annexation of Area 1 and Area 2 to the City of Hidden Hills, and annexation of Area 3 to the City of Calabasas. In 2020, LAFCO retained a consultant, Policy Consulting Associates, to prepare a draft EIR and SOI update for the cities of Agoura Hills, Calabasas, Hidden Hills, and Westlake Village. When the commission adopted that MSR and SOI update on September 9th, 2020, it amended the SOI for both Calabasas and Hidden Hills to accommodate these proposed annexations before you today. Unfortunately, a small portion of Area 3 was overlooked in the MSR from 2020 and is currently outside of the sphere of influence for the city of Calabasas and within the city of the SOI of Hidden Hills. A concurrent SOI amendment is being processed with this proposal to expand the city of Calabasas SOI and reduce the city of Hidden Hills SOI. The affected territory is north of Intersection Highway 101 Ventura Freeway and Parkway Calabasas, and is adjacent to the cities of Calabasas and Hidden Hills. The affected territory consists of a combination of residential, commercial, and vacant land. No additional development is currently planned. All agencies have adopted the proper tax transfer resolution. Proper notice was published, mailed, and posted online. Staff received written opposition to this proposal. Due to the receipt of written opposition, the commission cannot waive protest proceedings. All correspondence, 23 in total, were attached in your agenda packet, and nothing received changed staff's recommendation for approval. The staff reports includes the proper determinations for the proposed reorganization and sphere of influence amendment. The California Environmental Quality Act clearance is an environmental impact report certified by the City of Calabasas as lead agency on December 10, 2008. And the second addendum to the final EIR for the City of Calabasas 2030 General Plan that was adopted by the City of Calabasas as lead agency on October 28, 2015. Staff recommends that the Commission open the public hearing, receive testimony on the reorganization and sphere of influence amendments. There being no further testimony, close the public hearing. Adopt a resolution making determinations, including Environmental Quality Act determinations, approving reorganization 2014-03 to the City of Calabasas, Craftsman's Corner, amendment to the City of Calabasas and the City of Hidden Hills Spheres of Influence, annexation of Area 1 and Area 2 to the City of Hidden Hills, and annexation of Area 3 to the City of Calabasas. And pursuant to Government Code 57002, set August 12, 2026 at 9 a.m. or the Commission's next available meeting date consistent with the protest provisions in room 381B of the Kenneth Hunt Hall of Administration, 500 West Temple Street, Los Angeles, California, 90012, as the date, place, and time for commission protest proceedings, unless canceled, rescheduled by the commission, or the commission chair approves an alternate meeting location.
Thank you.
Would it be appropriate to open the public hearing at this time?
I will declare the public hearing open.
I did want to let the commission know that there are representatives of the City of Calabasas who are here, should you have questions. And I am going to ask if there is anyone on the phone participating remotely who would like to be heard at this time, please say so now. Again, if you were calling in on agenda item 7A, which is the reorganization number 2014-03 to the City of Calabasas, please make it known at this time. Hearing none, I will turn it back to you.
All right, so we have a motion to approve?
I'll move.
All right.
Second.
May I second over here to approve? Any further discussion? Sure, go ahead.
Can we use the mic, please?
Speak into the mic, Robert.
Sorry. Is that the total number of landowners who inhabit or own this property?
It is not. We gave you every opposition that came in. We did not look at to see if they're a landowner, registered voter, or just a resident. We just included it into the packet.
It's a small subset of the total area. Doug, is the purple and green, are those reflective of the letters we received?
That is correct. Of the properties.
properties.
The properties that we identified from the letters, from the...
I appreciate that because...
The correspondence received.
So the purple is the people who contacted us, landowners or registered voters in opposition. The two green are in support, correct?
Correct.
So as you can see, it's a small part of the overall annexation area.
So green are in support and purple are opposed?
Correct. That's submitted, yes, that we have heard from.
And I take it if I were to count up those total, I would say it'd be two to the majority of the property owners who have protested.
It is not a majority of the property owners within the area. It is not a majority of the registered voters.
So what's the total number of property owners?
We received comments from 23 individuals. If you count up there, I think it shows 20 because we tried to tie them to properties as best we could.
Okay.
But there are several dozen landowners and over, I think, about 130 registered voters.
So basically, we have 130 registered voters total, but we don't, at this time, you can't tell me how many property owners are parcels are there.
We can tie them to those 20 properties that are shown there. In all cases, we can't necessarily tie them to a property. If somebody sends us an email and says, I'm John Smith and I live at X, then you could see it in purple. If somebody says, I live in the affected territory and I object, then we can't tie it to a property.
Which leads to my next question. The number of protests in opposition, does that meet the triggering event to have a landowner election on this?
Should your commission approve this today, it will start a protest period that would begin as soon as this meeting is done and would conclude on August 12th. In 2 months. And during that roughly 60-day period, individuals have the ability to submit written protests. And at that point, we would know whether a threshold is reached.
So basically, at this time, we don't have a majority of landowners making sufficient protest to basically trigger a landowner.
There is no protest at this time. Protest does not start unless and until you approve this project, then protest starts. What you have is a subset of individuals who have voiced concerns and two have voiced support.
Okay, no, that's necessary to know. And you've educated me on the exact next step for what those landowners need to do, dependent on what we undertake today.
Okay, other discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
Nay.
One opposition vote only, it passes. We'll go on to the next item.
Agenda item 7B is reorganization number 2024-03 to the City of Laverne 2021-774. Amendment to the Consolidated Fire Protection District of Los Angeles County Sphere of Influence in consideration of the Environmental Quality Act exemption. This proposal consists of approximately 0.46 acres of uninhabited territory located south of Baseline Road between St. Mark Avenue and Don Avenue, adjacent to the City of Laverne. The boundary changes as a result of this reorganization include Sphere of Influence Amendment to the Consolidated Fire Protection District of Los Angeles County, annexation to the City of Laverne, annexation to the County Sanitation District Number 21 of Los Angeles County, detachment from the Consolidated Fire Protection District of Los Angeles County, and detachment from the County Road District Number 5. The effective territory consists of vacant land that is planned to be developed to include one single-family home. All affected agencies have adopted the necessary property tax transfer resolution. Proper notice was published, mailed, and posted online. Staff did not receive any significant comments from landowners nor registered voters. The staff report includes the proper determinations for the proposed reorganization and concurrent sphere of influence amendment. The proposal is categorically exempt from CEQA pursuant to state CEQA guidelines 15319B because annexation of individual small parcels of minimum size for facilities exempt by section 15303, new construction or conversion of small structures. The proposal is also categorically exempt from CEQA pursuant to state CEQA guidelines 15303A because one single-family resident in a residential zone may be constructed or converted under this exemption. The effective date of this proposal will be the date of recordation with the registrar, recorder, county clerk, and is estimated to occur on Monday, July 13th, 2026. Staff recommends that the commission open the public hearing and receive testimony on the sphere of influence amendment. There being no further testimony, close the public hearing and adopt the resolution making determinations, which includes the California Environmental Quality Act determinations, approving an order in reorganization 2024-03 to the City of Laverne 21-774, amendment to the Consolidated Fire Protection District of Los Angeles County Sphere of Influence, annexation to the City of Laverne and County Sanitation District Number 21 of Los Angeles County, and detachment from the Consolidated Fire Protection District of Los Angeles County and County Road District Number 5.
All right, are there any?
You may wish to open the public hearing.
Yes, no, I will do so. The public hearing on this matter is so opened. Is there any discussion among my colleagues or questions?
No discussion, but I'll definitely make the motion to adopt staff recommendation on this matter.
All right, and has made it moved and seconded to adopt the staff recommendation on this matter. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, please, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the motion passes. Thank you very much. Item, what are we, B now?
Yes, Mr. Chair, your next item is agenda item 7C. This is the Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence Update, number 2026-04 for the cities of Claremont, Laverne, and San Dimas, and consideration of the California Environmental Quality Act exemption. As you may or may not recall, in August of 2025, your commission awarded a contract to RSG Inc. to prepare this MSR and SOI update. Since then, RSG has examined and analyzed the various MSR and SOI issues associated with these three cities, the result of which is the draft MSR and SOI update before you today. It is my pleasure to introduce here at the podium Jim Simon and Jillian Glickman of RSG, who will present their findings and summarize their recommendations.
Do we have to swear in people when they testify or no? You didn't do that.
We swore people in at the beginning and they both swore the yes.
I mean, not that I don't trust you, but I was just turned to Margaret. I said, I don't remember hearing us.
I don't remember it either.
So. Mr. Lee. Good
point. Thank you.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, members of the Commission. My name is Jim Simon. I am a principal and president of RSG. We're a consulting firm that provides a variety of community development services to cities, counties, special districts, and LAFCOs throughout California. Our work for LAFCOs includes annexations, incorporations, reorganization studies, and importantly for this purpose, municipal service reviews. And we're here today to present to you the administrative draft MSR and SOI update for the cities of Claremont, Laverne, and San Dimas. And I'm accompanied by Jillian Glickman, who will be giving us some additional details. The next slide. For the benefit of our audience, municipal service reviews, or also known as MSRs, are an important assessment of an agency's service performance historically and into the future. They allow for LAFCOs to establish boundaries for agencies, ultimate growth boundaries known as spheres of influence, and provide resource of information to the public for the purposes of understanding how the agency is performing. MSRs capture information around governance structures, provide opportunities for efficiencies and potentially shared services, emphasis on opportunities for greater coordination amongst agencies as well. With respect to the agencies that covered today, we're looking at three specific incorporated cities, Claremont, Laverne, and San Dimas. To briefly summarize our process, the work began in August of last year with data collection based on publicly available records for most of the agency's websites and other sources. We then conducted interviews with city staff after they were asked to complete a questionnaire, which occurred beginning in November through January of this year. Based on that information, we prepared an administrative draft service review, which was served WAFCO staff and for internal review, and then circulated to each of the three cities for their additional comment. The MSR and SOI update reflects our analysis of the information collected throughout the process, including all the agency interviews and feedback, and covers the next five-year period. And we'll be discussing that in greater detail today. So I'll be turning it over to Jill for that information.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning, Chair and fellow commissioners. Jillian Glickman, associate with RSG. I also served as project manager for this MSR and SOI update. We can go to the next slide. So to begin, I just figured I'd give you some quick facts about the cities reviewed in this MSR, and then this slide will be followed by a map of the three cities. So just to quickly run through it, Claremont and Laverne were both incorporated in the early 1900s, while San Dimas incorporated later in 1960. The three cities range in size from 8.5 square miles in Laverne to 15.4 square miles in San Dimas, but their populations are relatively comparable, hovering around the 32,000 to 37,000 residents across the three cities. And the lower portion of the table highlights the key in-house services that are provided by each city, illustrating how their service delivery models differ. Laverne is a full-service city providing law enforcement, fire, and a portion of its potable water supply in-house, while Claremont and San Dimas provide a combination of in-house and contracted services, such as parks and recreation, road maintenance, while contracting for others, such as fire and EMS, as well as potable water. And then the key distinction between San Dimas and Claremont is law enforcement. Claremont operates its own police department, while San Dimas contracts for police services with the county sheriff's office. Go to the next slide. And then in front of you is a map of the three cities. These are largely foothill communities. They're bounded by the San Gabriel Mountains to the north, the East LA County boundary to the east, the city of Pomona to the south, and then Covina and Glendora to the west. You can go to the next slide. And then as Jim mentioned, at a high level, the goal with this MSR is to provide an independent assessment of the agency's historical service performance, as well as sort of capture its performance over the next few years. As part of this process, there are a few determinations that must be made under statute, which are listed on the slide in front of you. And in regard to MSR determinations, these notably include attesting to an agency's growth trends, capacity of their facilities, and adequacy of providing services both now and into the foreseeable future, as well as their financial ability to provide these services. So next, I'll briefly walk through these determinations on the next couple slides. All right, so to start, with respect to growth, population, and housing, the Southern California Association of Governments projects limited growth within all three cities through the year 2035. Specifically, Claremont and San Dimas are expected to experience slight population increases at an annual growth rate of 0.32%, while Laverne is expected to experience a slight population decline of 0.09%. Next, in regard to the location and characteristics of disadvantaged unincorporated communities located contiguous to the three cities. As part of this process, there were three disadvantaged unincorporated communities that were identified by LA LAFCO. These can be found on pages 43 and 99 of the draft MSR in front of you. And these include the following. So there was one duck identified contiguous to Claremont's southern boundary, although it's located within the city of Pomona's sphere of influence. Two disadvantaged unincorporated communities were identified contiguous to San Dimas's western boundary, one of those being within San Dimas's sphere of influence, the other one being in the city of Covina's sphere of influence. On the next slide, I'll discuss municipal services provided to these areas. So with respect to the capacity of public facilities, adequacy of services, and infrastructure needs in any disadvantaged unincorporated communities, also within the three cities reviewed, RSG's analysis found that all three cities generally demonstrate adequate capacity to meet both current and future demand. A few considerations were identified throughout the MSR process, which I'll cover briefly. So to start, in regard to law enforcement response times, we found that response times are increasing across all three cities for various call types, although Laverne was the only city to see increases in emergency responses, although it plans to add staffing in the near future to address those increasing response times. In regard to facilities, specifically public safety facilities, Claremont and San Dimas are both served by the Consolidated Fire Protection District of Los Angeles County, which identified future roof and HVAC improvements at facilities serving both of those cities. In regard to law enforcement, Claremont is seeking funding for police station upgrades, including seismic and safety improvements, in addition to a women's locker room, and Laverne is exploring replacement of its aging police station over the next 5 to 10 years. Next, I'll briefly touch on road maintenance needs. So all three cities reported a repair backlog and or identified necessary capital improvements related to their roads. So Claremont estimates roughly $1.5 million annually for a citywide street resurfacing and has experienced deferred maintenance with their streets in recent years. Laverne's most recent pavement management plan identified $16.6 million in deferred pavement maintenance, while San Dimas identified multiple street rehabilitation needs in its most recent capital improvement plan. And then lastly, in regard to water and wastewater, consistent with Laverne's role as a full service city, Laverne identified $12.3 million in 5-year water system improvements and approximately $400,000 in wastewater improvements in its most recent respective master plans. And then lastly, in regard to the three ducts that I referenced on the previous slide, neither Claremont nor San Dimas currently provides municipal services to these ducts. So as a result, RSU recommends that LAFCO conduct a detailed review of services provided to these areas as part of the next municipal service review and sphere of influence for the cities of Pomona and Covina for the two that are each located within their respective spheres of influence. In regard to the city's financial ability to provide services, RSU found that all three cities have the financial ability to provide services to its existing and future residents. However, we did note a few things in the report. So similar to many cities in California, Laverne continues to face structural cost pressures related to pensions, retiree medical benefits, and inflationary operating costs. Claremont's and Laverne's general fund expenditures are increasing at rates faster than general fund revenues, suggesting that careful financial planning is needed for long-term fiscal sustainability. Lastly, as mentioned, all three cities face necessary maintenance and capital improvement costs to sustain municipal services that I highlighted on the previous slide. And then in regard to opportunities for shared facilities, there were several existing opportunities for shared services. These were specific to potential options for Claremont to join the West End Animal Services Agency for animal control services, existing collaboration between these cities reviewed for stormwater services, fire protection and EMS services provided by the Consolidated Fire Protection District of Los Angeles, in addition to existing coordination between Laverne and San Dimas for the San Dimas Canyon Golf Course that's located within both cities. And then lastly, in regard to the accountability for community service needs, all three cities reviewed have the institutional structures, transparency practices, and management systems in place to remain accountable and responsive to community service needs. So with those being said, based on RSU's analysis, there are several changes that are recommended for all three cities' spheres of influence that I'll cover on the next few slides. So we'll start with Laverne, since you'll see that Laverne's SOI has implications for both Claremont and San Dimas. But in short, the Laverne's existing SOI, it's bounded by Claremont's SOI to the east and San Dimas's SOI to the west. The city provides potable water services to several areas outside of city limits, both within and outside of the city's existing SOI. So for the purpose of this SOI update, the primary goal was to really align the city's SOI with both existing and probable future service area. Go to the next slide. So the slide in front of you provides an overview of Laverne's out-of-agency water services by map area, and we'll go ahead and follow this slide with a map shortly. So the city, again, provides potable water services to approximately 369 parcels located outside of city limits. 352 of those received water service prior to January 1st, 2001, so out-of-agency service agreements are not required under statute. although for those who began receiving water service after January 1st, 2001, LAFCO approved out-of-agency service agreements for those remaining 16 parcels back in 2016. So the map in front of you shows Laverne's existing SOI and out-of-agency service agreements parcels. You can see that the two are largely misaligned, especially between Laverne and Claremont, whose SOIs currently split the area east of Laverne. So those are in gray on the map in front of you. All right, and then the next consideration as it relates to Laverne's existing SOI is that it includes two largely mountainous areas in Area 12 and then the northern portion of Area 9 as well. Based on discussions with the city does not provide or anticipate providing services to these areas. So as a result, in order to promote logical boundaries, RSU recommends the SOI is reduced in these areas to align with city limits. So in front of you is the proposed SOI for the city of Laverne included in the report. So RSU is recommending a proposed larger than SOI. It aligns the city's sphere with its existing water service area and also reduces the area where the city does not anticipate providing future services, including those mountainous areas to the northwest and northeast of city limits. With respect to Claremont, the city's existing SOI is bounded by the LA County boundary to the east and Laverne's SOI to the west. The city does not provide services outside of its jurisdictional boundary, but it does own several parcels that are located north of the city's existing SOI, which we'll cover on the next slide. And again, for the purposes of this SOI update, the primary goal is to really align the city's SOI with its existing and probable future service area. So this slide provides details and background about those city-owned parcels that I mentioned. There are 17 total located north of the city. That includes 10 within the city's existing SOI and 7 outside of the existing SOI to the north. These parcels were acquired in the late 1980s, early 1990s for the Claremont Hills Wilderness Park. The city has previously inquired about filing an annexation application on several occasions, but never did so. The Claremont Hills Wilderness Park master planning documents also note that the park is expected to grow and join adjacent communities in the future. All right, and then going back to the city's existing SOI, similar to Laverne, the city's existing SOI also includes largely mountainous areas in Area 6 on the map in front of you. Again, the city does not provide or anticipate providing services to these areas, so RSU recommends the SOI is reduced in those areas to align with city limits. So these considerations bring us to the proposed SOI shown on this slide. RSU is recommending a proposed larger than SOI to align the city sphere with its existing and anticipated service area, including those city-owned parcels to the north. It's reducing the areas where the city does not anticipate providing future services, including mountainous areas and areas served by Laverne's water system that I mentioned. And then I did want to note that you'll see on the map that a portion of Area 5 is recommended to be retained by the City of Claremont's SOI, as you'll see on the map in front of you, given that the parcels are not served by Laverne's water system. They also exhibit Claremont addresses and are only accessible through the City of Claremont. So we'll cover San Dimas next. San Dimas, its existing SOI is bounded by the Laverne's SOI to the east and then Glendora and Covina's SOI to the west. And similar to Claremont, the city does not provide services outside of its jurisdictional boundary. So again, similar to Laverne and Claremont, the city's existing SOI includes largely mountainous areas in Area 15 on the map in front of you. The area does not provide or anticipate providing areas services to these areas, and as a result, RSU is recommending that the SOI is pulled back in these areas to align with city limits. And then an additional consideration related to San Dimas's SOI is Laverne's water service area. So Laverne provides water services to the majority of parcels located in Area 11, and most of those have Laverne addresses. However, there are approximately 11 parcels in Area 11 that have San Dimas addresses. So while it's recommended that Laverne's SOI is expanded to include the majority of these parcels, it is recommended that San Dimas retain the parcels with San Dimas' addresses in the proposed larger than SOI to promote logical boundaries. So again, RSG is recommending a proposed larger than SOI for the city of San Dimas. It's aligning the city's sphere with its existing and anticipated service area, reduces the areas where the city does not anticipate providing future services, including the mountainous area to the north, as well as areas served by Laverne's water system. And then I did want to note that Area 16 on the map is recommended to be retained, given the parcels are not served by Laverne's water system, and they also have San Dimas addresses. And then lastly, Area 19 to the south of city limits, it's currently within the existing SOI, and it's recommended to be retained. These parcels exhibit Covina addresses, although it's unknown whether Covina provides services to these parcels. As a result, LAFCO could consider reviewing whether Covina currently provides or intends to provide services to this area as part of the next municipal service review and SOI update for the city of Covina. But in the interim, it's recommended that Area 19 remain within San Dimas' SOI until Covina's service provision to the area can be formally removed through a reviewed through a MSR and SOI update. That includes our presentation. We'd like to turn it back to you, Chair, for any questions or comments.
Much for the presentation. Questions or comments?
Just a clarification on addresses. That's the purview of the U.S. Postal Service?
That is correct.
Therefore, there has to be a legitimate reason for the Postal Service to change any particular designation at a given address?
I don't have that information in front of me. I don't know how they assign or retain them.
Because I've had some, watched procedures in the past that when boundaries change and sometime in the future, if they are either amended to join another organization designation, that the Postal Service can be petitioned to have that designation.
That's a separate process within the USPS.
Which is outside our purview.
Correct.
Right.
It is merely one of the factors we may look at in deciding whether an area should be within or outside of a sphere. It's usually a lesser factor.
I can answer
very lesser.
A little bit. I know because we have in Beverly Hills a large portion of 90210, which is well known as Beverly Hills, which is City of LA, which is not Beverly Hills. And way back when, I suggested that we call the post office and try and get them to change it because there might be some confusion. Occasionally you have people who call our city for services and we have to tell them, sorry, your post address is Beverly Hills, but you don't actually live in Beverly Hills. So there is a process you can go through, but the problem was you had all of these property owners who don't live in Beverly Hills who like having the name Beverly Hills. It's the idea of birds, I guess, adorning themselves with false feathers, but so we didn't pursue it. But it's something completely different, a completely different process, and it is confusing. There's no question about it.
There are a lot of areas of the county where people are in that situation. They're in an unincorporated area next to a city they want to be part of. So people next to Torrance, for example, in unincorporated areas. We'll say I live in Torrance. Very common.
We had someone, for example, who was like one door outside of Beverly Hills, and he came and he said, could you please annex us? I feel like I live in Beverly Hills. And the problem is if you do it for him, then the person next to him and so on and so forth. And where does it end? And this is an interesting commission for many reasons. But one thing that would be interesting would be to just from a historical perspective, how did the borders get drawn in the first place? And I think that actually is very interesting. I mean, in some cases, there are just so quirky things. In our city, there's like a zigzag area where half of a house is in Beverly Hills and half isn't. And whether you go to the schools or not determines on where the bedroom is and where the kids sleep. And it's, yeah. Anyway, interesting stuff.
Thank you for the additional information. It's always good to share information.
If I can make a few comments, Mr. Chair. First of all, we wanted to thank RSG for their work. And although we didn't have a speaking role, Marcus Merkel is also here today with RSG. We really want to thank the three city managers and their staffs. Laverne, Claremont, and San Dimas were very, very helpful in working with RSG. And I want to mention two of our employees, Adriana Romo, Doug Dorado, the three of us spent a lot of time on this. Doug actually lives in the area and actually drove a part of it where we were trying to figure out a particular line. So with all of that, at the appropriate time, I would be ready to make a recommendation if the commission is ready.
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded? All right. Further discussion? All right, everybody.
Mr. Chair, I thought the our executive officer wanted to make a comment and report.
I have 8 or 9 separate items. If you'd like me to read them all, I will. They are in your written staff report, and I think in the interest of time, I'd be happy to waive that, which I think all of you would probably appreciate.
Okay, I
council is okay with that. Yes.
Are they nodding yes? So that there's your answer. Thank you very much. Okay, anything else? We have the motion and second.
You have a motion and a second.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, your next item is agenda item 9A. This is the proposed memorandum of understanding between LAFCO and the statewide electronic courier universal recording environment. But that's a mouthful, so we just call it by its acronym, which is SECURE. In June of 2021, your Honorable Commission approved an MOU between LAFCO and SECURE. The SECURE system enables LAFCO staff to record certificates of completion remotely using a dedicated computer in our office, and those documents are then filed with the Los Angeles County Registrar Recorder County Clerk. Because the 5-year term of the original MOU expires later this month, a new MOU is necessary for the continued access to the SECURE system. Legal counsel has reviewed the MOU as to form and has no concerns. I would just note that this allows us another 5 years. It saves us the time and bother of driving down to Norwalk to record documents. And other than some glitches when the program first started, it's worked very well for us. So staff would recommend that you authorize me to execute the new MOU.
Finley, move staff recommendation.
Second.
Great, and it's been seconded over here. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the motion passes. Thank you. Let's go on.
Your next item is agenda item 9B. This is the proposed extension of the memorandum of understanding for the Alliance of LAFCOs amongst the Los Angeles, Orange, San Bernardino, and San Diego LAFCOs. Your Honorable Commission approved an MOU for the Alliance in July of 2025. The proposed extension in your staff report has 3 key provisions. One, it extends it for another year through June of next year. It also establishes a good faith resource commitment amongst the 4 LAFCOs to increase their budgetary commitments to $15,000 in this year and next fiscal year. And finally, it commits us to work collaboratively to secure federal and state approval of the Alliance as a nonprofit organization. In terms of the budget, you've already allocated the requisite amount for next year. And we sensed at least a recommendation on staff's part that we would probably recommend the same thing next year. Legal counsel's reviews the extension as to form and has no objections. Staff therefore recommends that the commission authorize me to execute the proposed First Amendment of the MOU for the Alliance of LAFCOs.
Any questions or is there a motion? Yes, go ahead.
Commissioner Gonzalez, so this is in addition to our rejoining the Cal LAFCO state organization.
As discussed when you decided to rejoin Cal LAFCO.
Okay, so
you will be participating in
to address joint issues between these what would be considered the southern region of LAFCOs.
It's just the Alliance, since the other 3 no longer belong to Cal LAFCO. They're just members of the Alliance.
Okay, which is an additional chair at the table on any issue we want to pull forward then.
It's San Diego, San Bernardino, and Orange, and us.
Shared. Okay, fine.
Any of the other counties rejoined Cal LAFCO?
All 3 have considered it and decided not to rejoin for fiscal year 26-27. I think there are some, using my words carefully, there are some longstanding grievances both on a procedural and real issue, and I think also on a personality issue. It's probably the best way I can describe it. And I'd be happy to discuss it with you a little more at length offline. I just want to be cautious how I characterize the opinions of 3 other LAFCOs.
There's no further questions. Commissioner Lewis moves the recommendation by staff.
Second? Second over here. Other discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion passes.
And Mr. Chair, Deputy Executive Officer Adriana Roma will present your next two agenda items.
Good morning, Commissioners. Item 9C is a request to create an ad hoc committee to consider an office lease extension and the selection of its members. LAFCO's lease for its current fiscal year will end in March of 2027. The current lease is an amendment to its initial 10-year lease that was entered into in November of 2011. Given the upcoming lease expiration, it would be appropriate for the commission to form a temporary ad hoc committee to evaluate LAFCO's office lease options. At this time, staff requests that the commission consider and appoint 3 to 4 commissioners to a temporary ad hoc committee for the specific and limited purpose of advising staff on lease options, including the potential for a lease extension. The final recommendations of the committee will be brought before the entire commission at a later time. Staff recommends that the commission approve and appoint a temporary ad hoc committee to advise staff concerning office lease options, including a potential office lease extension. Thank you.
Do we have some volunteers for the ad hoc committee? All right, one volunteer here. Over here, volunteer. Okay, volunteer. Oh, you're busy. Okay, anyone else volunteer?
Mr. Chair, and I know that he is not here and it's a terrible thing to do, but Commissioner Altoon has a lot of experience with leasing and development, so you may want to consider appointing him as well.
Who is that?
Commissioner Ryan Altoon.
Okay, that's the third one. That you wanted a 3-person committee, right?
So that would be McCallum, Finley, and Altoon. And are you serving as well?
No, I'm not going to serve.
Okay.
Need a fourth, I'd be happy. I my background's in real estate as well, if you need a.
Okay, you can do up to 4. So that would be Commissioners McCallum, Finley, Altoon, and Marquez.
All right, there's no objection. That's hereby the appointed committee. Thank you. Thank you for your efforts. Okay. We have an item here I should like to read.
9D. It's a request for proposals for municipal service.
Pardon me for interrupting. You do need a motion on the council is advising that there be a motion on appointing the committee.
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. What happened? I missed something there.
Back on the last item on the ad hoc committee, council is requesting a motion. So Commissioner Finley moved and Commissioner McCallum seconded.
Our motion on the 4 appointees. All right.
Correct.
Any other discussion on it? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay, and it's unanimous.
Thank you. I apologize for the oversight.
No problem. Let's continue on. What's next?
9D, it's the request for proposals for municipal services and sphere of influence updates for the cities of Lancaster and Palmdale. At the May 2025 meeting, the commission approved the sphere of influence updates and MSR schedule countywide. Consistent with the commission's approval of the MSR schedule, staff is requesting the authority to issue RFPs for the cities of Lancaster and Palmdale. Staff anticipates this would provide sufficient time for the MSRs and SOI updates to occur as scheduled during the 2026-27 fiscal year. Attached to the staff report is a request for proposals, which upon approval in a substantially similar form would be posted to the commission's website and transmitted to potential proposers by email. Staff recommends that the commission direct staff to issue requests for proposals for municipal service reviews and sphere of influence updates for the cities of Lancaster and Palmdale in substantially similar form as enclosed in the staff report and authorize staff to modify the request for proposals to address issues unique to each MSR as deemed appropriate by staff and or council. Any questions of the commission?
We need a motion.
Yes.
All right. Made and seconded. Other discussion? Oh, very good. Did you get the motion, the maker and the seconder? You got those? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the motion passes. Okay, let me go on to an item here that's not on your agenda, but it's on mine. That's regarding a fellow named John Mercich and his service on the commission. It's my pleasure to recognize him for his service. He was first elected to the Beverly Hills City Council in 2009, and he was reelected three times. He served as mayor on three occasions. On the city council, Councilman Mercich formed the Sunshine Task Force, which became a model for governmental transparency and public participation. First appointed to LAFCO in 2018, Commissioner Mercich was reappointed in 2022. While on the commission, he actively engaged in complex discussions involving the dissolution of the Satavia County Water District, the change in active powers for the Point Doom Community Service District, and countless municipal service reviews and annexation proposals. Commissioner Mercich frequently attended meetings of the California Association of the Local Agency Formation Commissions and the Alliance of LAFCOs, which we as colleagues on the commission appreciate very much. Again, I'd like to thank the commissioner for his service to LAFCO and wish him well in his future endeavors.
Thank you, Chair. It has been an honor and a privilege to serve with all of you. We may be what some people might consider to be a somewhat obscure commission, but what we do is important and interesting. As I pointed out, how did the borders get to be where they are? I think you could probably do a very interesting TV show on that as well. So, as they say, when one door closes, another opens, and I'm looking forward to continuing to be involved in the affairs of our region, and will be certainly following LAFCO, which, as I pointed out to my son at one point, is also the name of a candle brand in New York. And so for us, though, LAFCO is this commission and the important work that we have done and we will continue to do, that you will continue to do under your leadership and with everyone else here. It has been an honor and a privilege. Thank you so much.
It's been an honor serving with you.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add on behalf of staff, we have greatly enjoyed working with John. There are probably times you've pushed us maybe a little harder than we like being pushed, but I think it was always with a good heart and the right intent. So I think we've done some better work because of your input and questioning.
Thank you, Paul.
While we're digressing, I'm going to mention that I know there's been some concern about my leadership due to my age. That's called age discrimination, by the way. And I appreciate that there have been a couple errors that I made while chairing this meeting. And it's my intention to not run for re-election to this post as chair. I do, at this point in time, although it's not definite or final, intend on re-election to the commission itself, but I am not going to run for re-election as chair of this commission. I say that early because I have about 6 months to go in my term. That gives those people who are potential candidates, particularly my colleagues who are secretaries, who are vice chairs, the opportunity to mull over what they want to do and to campaign if they want to campaign or whatever is appropriate to get themselves the votes to come chair. We have some very, very capable people on this commission, and I will certainly enjoy working with them as a member of the commission.
Chair, may I?
Yes.
If I may just say, as someone who has no or will be off the commission, I think we have set up a very good succession plan, that we have your vice chair and your second vice chair are extremely strong candidates, and this commission would be lucky to have them move up, if you will, and to take over. And you know, there obviously then there will be another vacancy, if that's the case, for the second vice chair going forward. But I think everyone here has done a strong job, and I think Gerard and Margaret would be terrific leaders when you, as you say, on your own decide to step down after so many years of leadership. And again, I will be following the actions of the commission. And as they say, don't be a stranger. Thank you.
And commissioners, that will come up for you at your September meeting, which is when you make changes to the chair and
chair
positions.
I expect to be the chair until September.
Next item, Mr. Chair, is commissioner's report, item 11.
Commissioners have reports to make? We're already given reports, I guess. Our next item, the executive.
I have nothing to report today.
Any public comment? They all left. Okay. None on the air. Okay. So the future meetings are listed July 8th, August 12th, September 9th. And if there's no further business to come before this organization, we are adjourned.